to Total Wealth Academy's GetTotalWealth.com radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, travel, charity, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money and were able to lead more balanced lives using real estate. Now, your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis. We're always here together, you know, 2 o'clock Monday through Friday, and then Saturday mornings at 11, working on improving our financial IQ. For those of you not aware, Total Wealth Academy is a education and coaching program for real estate investors. We teach people how to use real estate to build a second stream of income. We do everything from teaching single family wholesaling, flipping, rental. We teach RV parks, mobile home parks, apartment complexes, self-storage, you name it. If it's a commercial property that produces cash flow, we're probably investing in it. When I say this out loud, it's so ineffective, so uneducated. It's just dumb. Now, here's the phrase. I don't make any financial decisions without talking to my spouse first. Okay, is your spouse some kind of multimillionaire entrepreneur? Is your spouse in a better financial position than you are? You have that type of relationship, you keep your money separate, so she's kicking butt and you're not, so you always talk to her before you make a financial decision? No, it's not the case at all. It's two people in the same financial position, neither of which want to take responsibility for decision making. That's what it is. It's a cop-out. It's a pathetic cop-out. You know, anything with two heads is a monster. It's that simple. You can't have two people in charge. It doesn't work. Someone has to be responsible and able to make decisions, or nothing's ever going to get done. Ever. I see it, man, and I don't know why I'm seeing it so much the last 30 days, but I just see it, and it's just like, okay, so how long have you had this policy of never making a decision unless you talk to your spouse? How long have you had that policy? They answer, well, we've been married 20 years and we've had this policy for 20 years. Are you in the financial position that you want to be in? No. Then stop doing that. Does that make sense? Why would you continue to do something that doesn't work? You know, there's a definition of insanity that says you're insane if you do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. You can't do that. Someone in the family has to be responsible for the finances. It can't be both of you. Someone has to be the leader. And the more you hide behind each other, I got to talk to my husband, I got to talk to my wife, I got to talk to my spouse, you're hiding from making a decision. You're hiding from being the leader. You're hiding from taking responsibility. And I know it's not supposed to be this way. I realize, you know, men and women are supposed to be equal and perfectly even. Men, I'm talking to you right now. If you and your wife retire broke, Who are they going to blame? It ain't going to be her. It's going to be you. You. Sure, both of you will be embarrassed. Both of you will be sad. But they're going to blame you, bro. It's your fault. Now, am I saying that in the family, the man should always be in charge of the money? Absolutely not. I know, I was going to say thousands, but it's definitely hundreds, if not a thousand or more, brilliant women who should be in charge of the money. So I'm not saying that men, you have to take control. But I will tell you this. If your spouse is not a financial genius, then you better become one and take the lead. Somebody's got to do it. In my family, it was me. But I want to make sure that everyone understands that the first 4 years of our marriage, my wife supported me. She was in charge of the money for the first 4 years. Once I learned this material and my knowledge base changed, then, and I say this respectfully, she let me take over the money. In other words, it would have been hard for me to just walk in and say, I'm smarter than you, I'm doing better than you, let me take the reins. I didn't have to. She had the wisdom to see what was going on as I was building wealth with real estate, to go, you know what? I'm turning over the books to you. And she turned over the family accounting to me. And I knew right then and there, I was now responsible. It was a great thing. I was excited about it. But at the same time, I remember shuddering because I was like, she's basically telling me I'm in charge. I'm responsible. It was weird looking back on it. I really haven't even discussed this since it occurred, I don't think. But it's interesting to look back and think about that time period. Before that, she was in charge. Because I was the dreamer. I was the crazy wacko that didn't want to keep a job, that wanted to be an entrepreneur, and she let me. But boy, as soon as I started succeeding, she handed it off. All right, we'll talk more after the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis. You're listening to AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Catastrophes happen in the U.S. and around the world on a regular basis, causing tremendous financial difficulty for those unprepared. However, some people are prepared. These are the people with a second stream of income. This month, we are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. For reservations, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're talking these two segments about personal responsibility again. You know, I hit this a couple of weeks ago, but you got to understand, you can't have two people responsible for the same thing. Nothing will ever get done because you will constantly look at each other as the responsible one. You'll look at him as responsible. She'll look at you as responsible. Silently, so you don't even know what's going on, except that you guys just can't make a decision and get anything done with your life. There's the symptom, and I'm telling you, the behavior is blame the spouse. Oh, I'd love to enroll, but I got to go home and talk to my wife. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that. You need to put somebody in your family in charge. Now, that doesn't mean you don't take input from the other person. You do. But when all the input is complete, someone has to make a decision. And then, of course, take action on it. It does no good to make a decision if you don't take action on it. You know, it's the little silly joke of, if there are five frogs on a log and four of them decide to jump off, how many frogs are left? Most people will say one. Nope. All five are still there. Because the four decided to jump, that doesn't mean they jumped. So, here we go. That's really as much as I want to talk about for that, because it's just been on my mind because I've heard it so many times from broke people going home to talk to their broke spouse about what they should do financially. You know, you don't do that. Somebody's got to be responsible. Okay, I want to bring in a special guest, Kaylee, the apartment queen, and I want to talk to her a little bit about a couple of things, but one of them is what keeps her taking action. I mean, she is incessant. I mean, it's just deal after deal, event after event. She just keeps pushing and moving forward towards her goals, and she's just awesome. So please welcome Kaylee McMahon to the show. Kaylee, thank you so much for calling in. I noticed it said 4:15 slot. I don't know if I emailed you wrong, but you called in at the right time, which is 2:15. So,
you know, hey, Steve, it was probably booked when I was still in Europe, so the timing's all screwy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'm glad I emailed you this morning then. Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, honestly, part of what keeps me going was renewed when I was gone, you know, and I needed to take that time for myself. I wasn't able to truly do that on a different time zone last year because of COVID shutting travel down. My passion is renewed, and I feel like some of the trauma that I was going through is healed. And I have let go of a lot of stuff that was really bothering me. And I'm, you know, you're going to see even more coming.
Well, tell me a little bit about the trip. How long were you in Europe? Were you by yourself? Did you take a boyfriend? What was it? Was it a romantic trip or just a mindset trip?
It was a me trip. So once a year for my birthday month, I say birthday month because if anyone wants to see me during that month, I'm like, okay, anytime it's considered, you know, it doesn't have to be one night of your birthday or whatever. So, you know, lunch or a run or whatever. But it was my little birthday trip, and I went for 2.5 weeks, and I went to, I think, three different countries. And pretty much during that time, whenever I was able to stop for, it was by myself, when I was able to stop for 3 or 4 days by myself, it really, I'm on a different time zone, 7 hours ahead of everybody. So what happens is that from, you know, when I wake up 6, 7 a.m. till about 3, 4 p.m., nobody is calling me and nobody is texting me from the States. So I have complete serenity and quiet. And that's every day of the week, not just Saturday, Sunday. So it was really a good time for me to be able to, you know, be awake, be at peace, not be on the hamster wheel running around, letting people kind of spend my time for me, if you will, and think, you know. So it was definitely something I did by myself, and I do that once a year. And every time I do it, I mean, I have resistance because, don't get me wrong, I was fearful. I'm not reckless about getting sick and or about getting other people sick, or am I going to get stuck over there because I don't have a vaccine, or how is this going to work? I don't know, but I just kind of feel the fear and do it anyway. So where there were certain adjustments I can make, they have tests. There are places, you know, I felt comfortable just going for it. And every time I go ahead and do it, I come back and my personal life, my career, my friendships, it's just like, boom, it just takes off. It's just incredible. So, you know, it's exactly what happened again.
Well, do you, when you're in the States, do you meditate, Kaylee?
Not enough, no.
But once in a while.
No, I need to work on that. I mean, so in the morning I have this cool little gratitude journal that is really the habit that it's myself to every day. I do it sporadically, unfortunately, but if I do that, then I kind of get to this place of instead of being on the offense, I'm kind of not in defense, but I'm kind of in, I'm deciding how today's going to go. I'm deciding who's going to treat me how. I'm deciding who's going to, you know, call and take up my time. I'm confident going into my day. I know exactly whose life I'm going to change, what improvements I'm going to make, what I'm going to accomplish. That mindset time is so important. And if I take that time, then I slow my heart rate down and I will, you know, meditate for like 5-10 minutes or something. But that's something I can work on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weakness of mine too, because I have so many friends who are extremely successful and they credit a large portion of their success to meditation. But I'm an A-type personality. Sitting there silent for 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes drives me nuts. It's a skill I would have to develop to be able to do it. I do more like you do, where I plan my day, I control who comes into my life, who doesn't, just like you were talking about. So let's talk about, you've got a property that you're in the process of buying right now. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. Go ahead.
Tell me a little bit about the deal. How many units? What's it projected cash on cash? Just a few ideas about what's going on with the deal.
Sure. So for anyone that's listening, I just want to be clear that I'm not legal counsel and that this is not a general solicitation by any means. This is a 506B deal. So the only investors that will invest into this deal are those that are already friends and family that are already on our list. So this would be an idea for what we're looking for our next deal. So what we're doing on this one is it's 111 units that are online. There's a possibility of doing at least two more that are just not being used. And some other wasted spaces on the property that can be used for income-producing office space and some other things like that. There's just a bunch of wasted space and kind of poor management, so that's an opportunity. And then it's in Amarillo, Texas. So what I have found is not quite yet, but throughout COVID in secondary markets, that's typically been where, you know, mom and pop don't really know how to do online marketing, funnels, Google ads, things like that, to where you can bring in, you know, tons of residents, which they're missing out on. So they have a big amount of vacancy in some properties where it doesn't need to be like that. So this property is looking to trade again, double its value in about 4 years, but we're projecting 5 to 7 to be conservative. And we're looking to get our investors double digit cash on cash. I'll just say that. And that's typically what we shoot for. And then we also shoot for a 2x multiple. So doubling your investments. That's what this is looking like as well.
Wow, that's impressive. So how many units do you own and how many are you managing now?
So as a group, we own 730 right now. After these two acquisitions, there's a deal that was in Corpus Christi that we're funded on. That's 111. So it'll be close to 1,000 once these are closed next month. But right now, currently, I'm managing two and then kind of co-managing two more. That was one where I stopped managing it and let somebody else manage it because it was, again, another far-out property. But they wanted to do it a different way, and that's okay. But I may have to go back and manage that one. So we'll see. But basically two for right now.
Wow. And I know you're not supposed to ask a woman her age, but aren't you only like 32 or 33?
Yeah, I just turned 32 when I was gone on my trip. So I'm officially
another year
older.
Well, happy birthday. I'm sorry I missed that.
Hey, it's like right around Labor Day. So, everyone's out doing the, you know, Labor Day thing. So no big deal. And then when I come see y'all in Houston, we can do a late, you know, one, you know, cheers.
Yeah. Let's do that at the next, member spotlight night you're at. I will definitely remember that and get you some, because I really appreciate when you come down and speak. I appreciate when you're at every event because the members love you, that you're an inspiration to them.
I'm a little bit different. Yeah. And I learned some stuff when I was over in Europe, or specifically in Spain. I've got some wise friends that have many, you know, years on me, and not just years, but different lenses. You know, they do a non-for-profit work. They have they do a lot of ministry, you know, and so for me, learning their perspective and lens in the world is really, really important. You know, like this last trip, it was like, the money that you make is meant to make yourself comfortable enough to where you can work on yourself. Like, that should be the focus. And so I was like, that's absolutely true. So with the remaining anything over what I need to be comfortable, that should obviously be going into investments and my family and the future.
Yeah, that I agree with totally. I was very nervous about beginning charity when I've, you know, because I was always very poor. And then when I started making enough money to give, I didn't for a long time. And then when I started, it was amazing how much comes back to you.
Yeah.
It's never an expense. It's like I made a donation to the University of Houston, and within, I would say, 2 weeks, two or three people came in and joined my group from the University of Houston and paid me consulting fees. I was like, what in the heck just happened? So the rule that giving and receiving are the same, are just about the same thing, is very, very true. All right, we got to get a break.
You can't have one without the other. Yeah,
totally agree. We got to go to break. Kaylee, please hold on, and I'll get back with you after the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, along with my special guest, Kaylee McMahon, the apartment queen. And we'll talk more about apartment investing when we come back here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Do you dream of a better life for you and your family? Do you want more time with the family? Would you like to be less dependent on a job for your income? Would you like to travel more? The solution is simple. Build a second stream of income. We can show you how. We are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. To reserve a seat, visit gettotalwealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's gettotalwealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and we're on the line with one of the sponsors or syndicators that works with the members at Total Wealth Academy and helps them invest passively. Kaylee is an excellent operator. She's passionate about it. And as you heard, you know, she's got close to 1,000 units that she owns, plus she's managing more. It's her passion, and that's why I invest with people like Kaylee, because it's not my passion. You know, the people laugh all the time when I say I don't like real estate. It's not really, it's for, when I say it, it's for effect. But I always finish with this, but where's all my money? In real estate. So I love it, I just don't like operating it. Whereas Kaylee's passion is probably not teaching like mine is. Hers is putting the deals together, overseeing the operations of the deal. This is, these people like Kaylee, this is where you want to put your money. Somebody who loves it, passionate about it, makes it work. And Kaylee, you said something earlier about changing people's lives. Do you have an investor story of somebody that came to you that you helped that you could share with the listeners?
I've got a couple, and I may have one coming up soon with a Total Wealth member. I don't want to give away too many details, but if it's not convenient, don't do it. If it's not what?
If it's going to blow a deal or something, don't do it.
Oh, no, not like that. But
you don't have to use names either.
Yeah, I'll just say Bob and Sally or whatever. So I guess in the past, there's been situations where, especially for me, I have a passion for helping women to be able to financially elevate themselves so that they can invest earlier and therefore have wealth long-term faster, and then obviously participate in compound interest. If the earlier you start, the more you're going to make wealth-wise in the, you know, you don't have to work till you die type situation. So the earlier you can get in, you can. So point is with that story, there's been a handful, or if not more, women that didn't necessarily have the typical minimum that they needed to invest. And so I'm working on doing another one, but I'm working on creative ways to bring them into our deals where they qualify, because most are not accredited, not sophisticated, but to where it's legal to be able to do it and still bring them in. So that is something that I'm working on again, because I had a crowdfund and, long story short, didn't hire the right attorney to structure it. So basically what we did was my partner and I said, you know what, I have to honor my commitment to take these investors, even though it's not convenient for me to take a lower amount. It doesn't make sense with all the paperwork and the fees and all this stuff, but I said I would. And so they were expecting to get into these great returns and great offerings that we have. And so basically all I did was just say, you know what, we're going to honor what we said we were going to do, and we're going to do it. So we ended up taking lower amounts than we wanted to, but again, honoring our words. That was, I think that's important to do. And then I guess moving forward, there's somebody that is typically used to making a reasonable, an accredited investor's salary. Let's just say that they're used to, they're pretty comfortable at this point in their life, and they've run into a situation with some political and government regulations that have forced them to stop getting that high paycheck. And so they reached out to me and they said, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, investing moving forward, or how we're going to make an income. And so I had offered to figure out a way to structure to have them be part of my deals. So I said, you know, if you can have this skill, or you can bring this skill to the table, then I'm happy to help you guys as a partner. So that was something that I'm proud of, because, you know, we have a relationship and we have a certain way we do work together. But I've definitely taken the time to have multiple meals with them, get to know them in an attempt to deepen these relationships, because now I'm actually going to do that even more. And so they reached out when they had, you know, personal things going on. So that was awesome for me to be able to listen to that, and then awesome for me to have some kind of resource to help. And I also have a brokerage that I really don't do much with, but I also had mentioned, hey, if there's any, if you need a sponsorship, I'll sponsor anyone in your family that wants to get a real estate license and do it for you guys, you know, with no split. Anyway, it's trying to find creative ways to be able to help them make some income.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember, you know, there's multiple stories for everybody, but I remember when my mother was beginning to have the early signs of dementia, and I knew she couldn't work anymore or much longer. And just to have the ability to say, give me this amount of money and I'll get you $3,500 a month for the rest of your life, plus your Social Security, plus your retirement. And she was able to quit her job literally within, I think it was about 90 days from the, yeah, it was, because it took us 30 days to close. And then about 90 days later, we had it stabilized and cash flowing.
Wow, that's fast.
Well, it was a little 22 unit, believe it or not.
Ah, got it.
That was all it was. And it was, it was like you said, it was just mom and pop, and they hadn't taken any courses on investing, so they didn't know how to manage an apartment. And they sold it to me on an owner finance note. And so I helped them retire, because now they were making money, which they hadn't been with the apartment. Now that they had a mortgage on it and I was paying it every month, they were making money. They were able to retire. My mom was able to retire. And, of course, I didn't take any profit from that deal. So it really didn't affect me much. But it was just a very rewarding situation. And I know you probably, if you thought deeply about it, and one of these days, one of your investors is going to pull you aside and tell you a story like that, that you changed their lives, no doubt. So let's talk about that question. We touched on it a little bit, which is how you stay motivated. But the listeners, a lot of them want to take action, and they're sitting there going, man, I would love to passively invest with somebody like Kaylee, or I would like to build a little single family portfolio. I'd like to do something to build a second stream of income, and they can't get themselves to take action. What would be your advice to somebody like that? How do you keep taking action so brutally consistently?
Well, you got to have some kind of emotion behind what you're doing to motivate you to go, you know? So in the beginning, there's got to be something, whether it's, you know, you need to spend more time focusing on your health, you need to spend more time with your family, whatever it is that, you know, you're passionate about, you've got to be able to keep that top of mind. And so I do a variety of things, but vision boarding is one. What do I want to go after? But as far as like immediate action, even if I'm working on like a startup, or for example, I just came back with a handful of ideas because I took time to really like stop running around and think while I was gone overseas. And I created, so this is this ecosystem that I have to create of educating ladies who are at this level, phase one, this level, phase two, and then at, you know, phase four, that's where I come in. But how I got to basically, I'm a visual person. Not everybody's like this. So what I did on Saturday night was I went to a co-working space where there's a giant whiteboard. Basically, I wrote out all of the end game goals, how I'm going to get there. And I did it in a visual form where I'm saying, okay, even adding a time to it, adding in like with the green marker, like where the money's coming from, where the money's going, just being very clear with how you're going to get there and what pieces and parts are involved. So for me, building that that model is something I can keep looking at and remind myself, okay, where am I at in that process? And I try to, at a minimum, quarterly, go kind of look at myself and say, you know, where are we at with these things? And if we're not there, we need to take some action. So as far as taking action, so, you know, if I just created something that's got five phases to it, then I'm going to be looking at phase one. And so for phase one, what I'll do is I'll say, okay, who's involved? Who do I need to make this happen? Because that's the biggest component of getting anything done. You're not the expert of everything and you never will be. So being able to say, okay, who are the professionals that I need to help give me the advice to do this? Who are the partners that I need to help provide this? Where do I go get the money? Where do I go get the all the pieces that make up, you know, getting to that goal? You know, where is that coming from and who is that coming from? And then as far as getting, you know, the time frame or getting, you know, in, you kind of have to set some goals as far as I'm going to have put myself, like, for example, if you're wanting to buy your dream house, that's a bad example, your dream car, you know, what I do is the first step of action is getting myself on a list. Like, that's the first thing I got to do. Like, if I want to have these things put in front of me to make this stuff real, I got to go and get on a list. So if I was wanting an exotic car that's, you know, something that's, it's got to be this perfect price, this perfect buy. This is what I do with apartments too. I get on a list where, you know, you put parameters on your list that meet your criteria, and then it's coming to you every day. It's in your face and you're going, okay, now I can just sit, then I just put some time aside every, I don't know, 2 days, 3 days, once a week, whatever, at least an hour a week, and just sit down and dedicate that time to go through evaluating these opportunities. And then you just pick one that makes the most sense for you and you go after it and you go ahead and fill out some documents and you move forward. I mean, so if you're serious about it, that emotional thing that is motivating you, I want to be with my children, I want to retire early, I want to do whatever it is that you want to do, and maybe I need this vehicle to get there, that's how to just get started.
And momentum is so powerful. Like you talk about, hey, I got on a list. That's a small step, but ends up producing momentum, which gets you into multiple other steps. I love what you said, because it, if they'll just take that one first action step, you know, it may be coming to our free workshop, or it may be reading a book, it may be listening to a audio that just gets you going. And then once you've got momentum, it's hard to stop. So I love what you said. That is great. Okay, we've got to go to break again. Yeah, we got to go to break. Hold on, if you would, Kaylee, and we'll talk a little bit more on the other side of the break. This is the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and you are listening to AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thanks for listening.
Are you tired of losing money in every down market? Did you know that real estate makes money in both the up and down markets? In fact, we make more money in the down market. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Yes, we're hoping for a down market, and you should know why. To find out, attend our free 2-hour free sample class. To reserve a seat, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back. to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, and we're on the phone with Kaylee McMahon, the apartment queen, who owns property really across the United States, over 1,000 units. And we're kind of talking about getting into action. And I don't know if you heard, Kaylee, the beginning of my show today. I was talking about this concept of two people being in charge. And this is the married couple that constantly says, oh, I've got to talk to my spouse before I make any financial decisions. And I was poking fun at the whole concept because my belief is anything with two heads is a monster. Someone's got to be in charge. I don't care if it's the woman, I don't care if it's the man, or it's two men, two women, whatever the circumstance is. It's somebody's got to be in charge and take responsibility. I was in a partnership one time where we really didn't have an agreement as to who was responsible for what. It was more of, hey, we're buds, we'll all do everything, yeah. Whoever's free. You know, nothing got done. Nothing. Yeah. We had a fence problem at one of our properties. It sat for months because every one of us thought the other person was responsible. what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that people have strengths, and I think it's important to listen and try to identify what they are strong at and let that person do that thing and just stay out of their lane. So I just had a meeting before this call where this woman can speak 5 different languages. She's very good at design. She has a background in business commerce. And long story short, there were a few things I picked up that it's like, okay, when it comes to designing the actually getting involved with the renovations, I think some of the vision, rebranding, all those things, our property manager will facilitate. But however, there's got to be vision, and I have it, but I can't have it if we're going to grow for every property, you know? And so just listening and finding out and actually watching action too, what are they truly strong at and having them focus there? You know, like I said, have that discussion. Hey, this is your lane. Hey, this is my lane. And even, you know, just the CYA, put it in the operating agreement, you know, that's what we're going to do. And sometimes with good A-player partners, you'll be fortunate enough to have people that, you know, life happens and you can't be there, or you're sick, or you're on vacation or whatever, and they'll step in and help, you know. So not all the time, but just, you know, when you need help. So I think that having defined roles is very important. And having that defined in that discussion up front, even before you're doing business together, like what, you know, as a friend, what are your strengths? What do you like to do?
Yeah. And you bring up a good point by saying, what do you like to do? You know, I've never been one. If I find an employee that I see is miserable, I'll try to train them. If I can't, I don't fire them. I find a position they do like, because if they're a good person, they're a good person, but they may hate accounting. And I've hired them as a bookkeeper, you know, and it's like, you hate this, don't you? But I love this person. Yeah. They're hardworking. They're always looking for ways to help. I'm going to find another position for them where they are happy. So I'm glad you said the word like. What do you like? That is important. If you study the Dalai Lama, he talks about the purpose of life is to be happy. And then my sales pitch is, it's okay to be happy. You don't have to work a job you hate. You can work a job you love. Especially if you build some passive income with Kaylee or one of these other sponsors where you don't have to work, then you can really find what you do love. So,
that's right.
All right. I think I've got a question for you by email.
Sweet.
This is from Carl, and he's asking, what are your goals for 2022 as far as purchasing, and are you going to do anything other than apartments?
Yeah, so I'll answer the second question first. So really what I'm going to do is stick with kind of the fundamentals of what I learned from other people before my time that have had track records of success and, you know, have a system that works by staying with value-add deals. And that does also apply, at least the way that I've structured some of my business entities, to be able to apply to storage if the storage is already pre-existing on the property, or if there's like an extra plat of land that we could utilize for storage. That's something that for the cost of putting it in and then comparative to the income, it's really a big net operating income boost. So that would be something that I am open to doing on an existing property or adding to on a property. We kind of do that all the time, but mini storage, but I mean like actually larger units that are not air conditioned. So that's one thing. And then as far as goals for next year in properties, yes, staying in multifamily, I'd like to purchase, let's see, what do we have left? 5, 3, 2. By the end of the year, we'd like to have 15 million-ish more in purchased property because I'm raising a certain amount that, it's 5 million that can be leveraged up to 20. We've already purchased 2 properties, long story short. So that may be a variety of units. I used to go by door number, but because you don't know what kind of deal you're going to find, I have to be a little more open-minded. So that may, so we have a minimum number of units that that's going to purchase, but there could be more because like this Amarillo deal, we're looking at $20,000 a unit, which is like not expected at all. So
Wow. That
could pop up again. Who knows,
Yeah, you never know. And then people are going to call you lucky. I'm like, that ain't luck. Somebody's out there hustling.
That's vigilance.
Yeah. There we go. Vigilance. It's just boom. You're there every day. Was it Zig Ziglar, I think, said that 80% of success is just showing up, that most people don't even show up, and then the opportunity just passes them by. I got a question for you off of something you said. You're going to stick with the value add. Now, I did a show a couple of weeks ago where I almost feel like yield plays are ego plays, because the value add gives you a higher rate of return, allows you to move from property to property more quickly. Why are people buying yield plays when they have a lower rate of return and they take, 7, 8, 10 years before you see any major changes in the value if 2008 doesn't happen during that time period? I just feel like they're ego plays. It's like they're, look how bright and shiny this A-class property yield play is. Yeah, but your rate of return's 3%. Who cares? I don't like them at all. So I love your strategy, which is I want a value play. I want to be able to change some people's lives at the apartment, go in, get rid of the drugs and thugs and prostitutes and put in safety. Well, I'm not sure if we're allowed to use the word safety, but perimeter gates, lighting, kids play area, repair the pools. I mean, there's nothing like having a little, this is one of my favorite stories, little Spanish grandmother comes flying up to me. I don't speak any Spanish. She's just wailing, crying, speaking Spanish, screaming at me, but in a loving way, gives me a big old hug. And her son translates that before we bought the property, her kids couldn't even play outside after dark. It was impossible. Drug dealers, prostitutes, thugs, and it changed her life. And, that was 200 or 300 units, so there was probably 30 or 40 grandmothers feeling the same way. Man, that's rewarding. And I just don't see that in the yield plays, nor do I see the profit in the yield plays. What were you going to say?
I just, I don't do those, so I couldn't really give advice from those people's lens. But the reason why I don't, for now anyway, that's a lie. So we have done one yield play in Houston, and it was in a so-so area in Greenspoint, and the property was to the point where all we had to do was kind of keep tweaking up the rents and continue changing out the units that were just needing turns. And so there really wasn't a lot to be done. However, I've been pretty surprised that out of all the deals, especially during COVID, that's been the one that month over month over month over month has done better, which is, like I said, even during COVID. So I don't know, but just that's experience that I've seen. However, we had to raise a lot more money to get into that deal. And if you compare that one, which is about the same size to our Phoenix deal, 200 plus units, the Phoenix deal did experience a fire, which is kind of the weird part of that one. But We're looking to refi out like over 50K a door on the value add one. We're not going to be able to do that one on the yield play one. But we had to deal with a giant fire and, you know, insurance adjusters and asbestos and flooding.
We got to go. This is the end of the show. Thank you so much, Kaylee, for coming on. I truly appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
To the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decision. To find out about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit GetTotalWealth.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.